But I love Kevin.
Okay. Hi.
Stop petting her.
We're doing.
Ow, it's my foot.
Yuma, what the fuck,
bro? Hey, big girl. She knows what's up. Hey, big girl.
We have to start the podcast now, honey bear.
I don't like to talk to Yuma on the pod because I feel like there's like 1% of the listeners are like, ooh, I am a good girl whenever I talk to Yuma. And I just, if that's you, it's patreon.com/disgorgeous. Because I talk to Yuma a lot on that one. Now, Yuma, do you think my little sugar plum, you could go sit somewhere else?
No.
She's fine. We're fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
It just bothers you, huh?
I don't like it when she's active.
When she's on air.
You don't like it when she's near me?
I like it when she's like laying down and like chilling.
Oh, yeah. I like it when I'm laying down and chilling.
Same. Yeah. Can we actually do this podcast like that? Can we just lay down and chill?
That would be so cool.
John asked me if I wanted to do it like a mermaid. The podcast. So sorry. I just was like...
It's gorgeous.
Also, if that made anything move, patreon.com/disgorgeous.
Now, what is this? Patreon, you say?
Yeah. Do you want to know about it?
Yeah, tell me more.
Listen. Can I do Patreon like a mermaid?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can.
Will Patreon do me like
it
a mermaid?
It costs 5 shells a month. Mm-hmm. And one of those, what is it called? A fork?
Oh.
That's a little mermaid reference, kind of. I think I fucked it up.
Only 90s kids get this one. Yeah.
That is my toe.
Do you think we're America's most 90s wine podcast?
I don't think so. I feel like there's probably some Gen Zer out there who's doing this in their garage, who's like actually born in the 90s, which none of us are.
Right. But then they're like, what's 9/11? I don't even remember that.
Fair. That's true. They were, in fact, 4 years old when that happened.
That must have been so tight just to be like, huh, I don't even know how the world changed.
I was telling John this earlier, but I was at an account and the bartender was very nice. And he was like, the one problem with this job is like, they make us listen to like nothing but 90s hip hop. And I'm like, I'm just so sick of listening to oldies all the time. I was like, yeah, that's fair. It is a good point.
To be fair, that happened to me every time I went anywhere where Sam, who worked at EMP or any sort of uptown fine dining restaurant, also would only listen to 90s hip hop. Mm-hmm. And so I feel as though they are the ones who did this to us.
They've done it to us all.
Yeah, they made it into oldies. Mm-hmm. And they were 32 at the time, and I still hate their guts. So, for what it's worth.
Do you remember the phrase anything but hip hop and country?
Yes. Yeah.
That's been like in my head.
It's like a MySpace go-to.
Mm-hmm. Here's the trouble. I love both of those genres of music, and I'm literally not allowed to listen to them because C-words have fucked them up for me. Oh, no. I only blipped out part of that. Sorry.
C-words.
C-words?
Really
okay.
Fucked it up.
I'm trying to think of what is... Oh, I guess the C-word. Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Beautiful.
Now, so this brings me to a rubric for today. This brings me to our beautiful binary of the day, which is...
Beautiful
is
boater binary.
Our beautiful seashell-driven binary, which is which of these wines is country and which of these wines is hip-hop.
That's a
they
very good question.
They have to be one or the other.
We absolutely have to make a decision. I won't stand for it any other way.
Can you define what the difference is between country and hip-hop?
So let's
I am a child.
Let's paint a picture. It is 2006.
Yeah, hell yeah.
You're on MySpace.
Absolutely.
Are we...
Someone has just followed you, and under music it says, I like everything except for country and hip-hop.
100%.
Therefore, country means like achy, breaky heart. Mm-hmm.
That not even. They weren't even... That would be like...
That's rock.
That was 90s.
It's too old for them, to be honest. Yeah. Like,
you're right.
They also don't know what New Kids on the Block were.
Right.
You know, well, they had a bunch of hits, actually.
For country, they were probably thinking, like, I don't listen to Shania Twain.
Yes, okay, that's fair.
That.
And like, I don't like it's getting hot in here. Like, that's the two.
I don't like the guy with the Band-Aid, and I don't listen to Shania Twain.
Fred Durst is okay. It's about as hip-hop as I get.
Yeah.
But Shania Twain is so good. And also, like...
Obviously.
Okay, if we're doing Shania Twain and Lil Jon as... I made him French.
Lil Jon.
Lil Jon.
Le petit Jean.
You ever heard Lil Jon's song, Weh?
From the window. You don't have any French listeners, right?
Best
we've asked you this.
I've ever made in my life. Lil Jon.
We don't have any listeners anymore. I think this is like, this is probably the last episode of Disgorgeous. I'm going to be so real with everyone.
I'm going to say that this wine is Shania Twain. But we haven't had the other wine yet. So we'll have to wait till we. But my guess is that this is Shania
so
Twain.
So we are going to do. We're going to say something. It's either Shania Twain or it's Lil Jon.
Yeah. Shania Twain is so ungodly hot.
Mm-hmm. Isn't she like 74 years old at this point? I mean, I feel like there's matter. A.
I'm thinking of her
age
with.
Just a number.
With, when she's driving the motorbike in that video.
I'm going to make you promise me that for a long time, Kev.
I'm almost 40. Why am I still doing a fucking podcast? Why have we pivoted to video yet, Kevin?
I think that's a younger man's game.
Have I talked to you guys about this, about how the repeat compliment that I got working in restaurants for many long years was that I should do radio?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Which was like...
Oh, thank you so
You guys
much.
Are, like, there would be people sitting down at a table. I would be pouring them a bottle of wine or chatting with them about their meal or describing the menu or whatever. And they would be like, you know, you really should do radio. And I was like, that you are all just looking up at me being like, this bitch is unvisageable. Like, I just got to get her out of my physical
I expect my
soms view.
To be like 56 years old and like sweaty. You're not hot like those guys.
But no, it was like but for sure, get her behind a screen because God knows we're sick of looking at it.
I think all Psalms are really good looking. That's just me. Like, nothing gets me off more than a fucking sommelier just like oozing like a fucking wheel of brie into my room. And they all smell like it too. Like,
Yeah.
And they're all telling me like what exactly the precise amounts of SO2 additions given the levels of RS and this Comtal white wine that I don't understand properly is supposed to be. Nothing says to me, get off the radio, get this guy on a TV screen so that we can all watch him.
But the weird thing is, again,
I
want to
watch
a dude do that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're not Psalms. That's a whole, like, hey, this is your first episode of Disgorgeous. We're not Psalms. We're hot.
We're not Psalms. Of course we have a podcast where we swear.
We're not Psalms. Of course we're thinking about killing ourselves.
I'm the only one with the Nathaniel Hawthorne Scarlet Letter S emblazoned on my stupid fucking sweater. And it's because I was trying to bone a minister in the woods. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, that stands for slut, actually.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Bone a minister in the woods. That's a really good phrase.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. I'm going to stick around for a little bit.
I've been doing a lot of kettlebells. And I've noticed that whenever I do them, whatever's tying me to the mortal plane really dissipates.
With every bell repetition?
I'm just like so sore right now. It's like, if I didn't have another minute, I'd be cool. Like, if this wine was full of hemlock, like, let's go.
Yeah, I'm like the same. But
actually, why have you guys not invited me on the hemlock episode? Why have I not made this specific request? It's like you give me three blind bottles. Two of that, one is like a dandelion wine. One of them is like a burdock distillate, and the other one is just liquid hemlock. Hell, and I will look at you both and say, finally, the culmination of this long friendship has reached its necessary.
We're all wearing our Nikes.
I got this. She burrs my dock till I distill it. Hey guys. No. Welcome to Disgorgeous. It's a podcast about wine. I'm John McCarroll.
Oh, I'm Kevin Diamond.
I'm Amanda. S is for slut. Yeah,
smells. I'm Amanda Slut.
Not gorgeous. A sommelier, just
of course
a
we're
slut.
Can you please change your name on Instagram to Amanda Slut?
Honestly, I am here for the lost and gained followers. Yeah, on that front.
We're talking about how do we make an extra couple thousand dollars a month. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, Pino in bio.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have nothing to live for. Yeah, I have nothing. This is a Kevin season. Kevin, what are we doing here?
Oh, by the way, can we use Whitney Houston, I Have Nothing, as the entry song for this episode? I had a couple requests.
We'll ask the producer.
That's fine. Yeah,
I thought also Man, I Feel Like a Woman would be a good one too, given that we're talking about Shania.
Yeah. I wonder if I could get like a Man, I Feel Like a Woman / Yeah mashup. Yeah.
Spicy. Very spicy.
Sorry, was the American name of the song. Bleh.
What? They had to translate it.
It was weird, yeah. What was your question?
What's...
Permission to treat the witness as hostile.
What's the deal with this season?
Okay, here's the deal.
Okay, the dill.
It's Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc.
Now, why are you doing this to me?
Mothers and fathers.
Mothers and fathers and children.
That's right.
And dads
it's a family
and moms.
Affair.
And it's a family affair. You get it, actually.
Okay.
I thought a lot about... So this was an idea that I thought was funny.
I love that.
I like
wine is
that,
notoriously
like,
amusing.
Every time we do a John season, it's really like a smart idea, and like it's like a way of thinking about wine through a different lens.
And it goes too long.
Oh, it's really cool. And there's 18 episodes, And like John only buys white wine that he likes.
Yes.
And that's the whole season.
Yes.
So I'm just, I like to, I've decided I want to use my seasons as a way to push John out of his comfort zone a little bit, have him question why he is the way he is.
Why he exists on this mortal plane.
Okay. And introduce him to different ideas and thoughts that aren't just sort of anthropological and perhaps more
Kevin,
personal.
I wish you'd introduce me to thoughts.
But the real answer is I just thought it would be kind of fun. And I'm a dad, and I sometimes want to drink Sauvignon Blanc. I often want to drink Sauvignon Blanc, and I actually sometimes want to drink Cabernet Sauvignon now. So I'm trying to explore why that is, why it's hard to do that in a fun way often. Like for both of those grapes, why it's like, There are very amazing expressions of them, and all, why is it so all, hard like,
sort
to
of
find
serious
them?
Boys, yeah.
No, yeah.
Would you say this is a good first episode of Disgorgeous?
To listen to?
Yeah.
I don't know what one's entry point should be into this universe. If you are, in fact, new here, I would advise you as someone who's only on the periphery to go as far away as fast as you can and to start listening to NPR again or whatever it was you were doing before.
Yeah, those are the two options. It's Disgorgeous or NPR.
That's right,
yeah.
Right. I like everything but hip-hop and country.
Yeah. I like everything but Disgorgeous and NPR.
That's fair, honestly. Everything else is good.
As soon as the idea was introduced to me, I understood it right away, and I thought it was a very charming and clever.
Braggy brap. I got it right away.
I'm an incredibly smart student in the class. I thought it was a very charming and clever way to talk about family relationships among grapes that are never treated as family, and that are mostly just abused in the southwest of France and all throughout California.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect way to talk about families is to talk about how things are abused in the majority fashion.
Well, yes. Happy families are all alike, but unhappy families, their whole shit sucks differently.
So you're just going to get a lot of like sort of barely there, almost literary quotes from
this
us today
is
about
great. Yeah. This is what I was hoping for. Yeah,
about the horror of family relations.
My life in terms of literary references right now are children's books.
Hell
so if you guys
yeah,
can
dude.
Tell me more about real stories.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
I've got a lot of books about Batman in my house right now. Pretty cool.
Calling books stories is so cool.
It's Oliver, we're only doing two stories tonight.
That's it. You got to do two.
Just give him an iPad, man.
These two stories are called Cabernet and Sauvignon Blanc, kid. And you're going to sit here until daddy's done with both of them.
What if we could do this season almost like a Wes Anderson movie where it's like the podcast is a children's book.
Okay.
And the characters are.
Absolutely.
You know, Cab Sauv and Sauv Blanc.
I'm so into it.
And they're like in love with each other, even though they're.
Yeah, then there's like a kooky uncle. The kooky uncle is definitely Bill Murray, and he's absolutely Cabernet Franc.
Absolutely.
Of course.
100%.
And he didn't do anything weird.
No. He's in the new Ghostbusters, so it must be fine.
Yeah, it must be cool.
Honestly, none of them have done anything weird. They've all been perfect.
Paul Rudd's finally looking his age and like
he's starting.
Dude. That is making me worse than anything.
He's starting
else.
To look 40 and he's 52. It's not looking his age. He doesn't look 16 anymore.
There is not a relationship I've ever had that Paul Rudd couldn't ruin.
Yeah, Paul Rudd's coming for us all, to be honest.
I would love for Paul Rudd to come for me.
Yeah, I think this would be a good first episode for people.
Great.
Yeah.
So
So you want to serve white wine cold, and red wine likes to be a little bit warmer.
Mm-hmm. So throw that in the microwave for 10, 15 seconds.
I like to sit on them before I get going.
Oh, like a hen with an egg?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a slower...
It's honestly, if you take them from a freezing cold, it's like ice packs, like cold, tall, cool Budweiser level cold, and then you just sit on them. Honestly, in 10 to 15 minutes, you're going to feel great, and the wine's going to be a perfect temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the first time I'm going to give you the advice, sit on it.
It's like so important that actually, if you are if you're a listener who has a set of testicles, keeping them cold is actually great for sperm mobility.
Oh,
is a thing I read on Reddit yesterday.
And John is trying to make sure those fuckers move.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What are you trying to do with those boys? I've done it a couple of times, so I could give you advice. It's not that hard.
This episode of Disgorgeous is about fertility and mobility, not at all about certain grape varieties from originally. From
I mean, what's the difference, man? Okay, so let me put on my sommelier hat.
Mm-hmm. Big ass.
I'm a greasy piece of cheese.
Well, I need more wine. I drink it.
Yeah, how'd you drink it all so fast?
It tastes good.
It's tasting good. I'm happy about
yummy.
This. I'm happy about
it's a little treat.
Which is actually what I needed today. Baby needs a little. When you get off the subway, you've had your commute home from your job, and you're doing the thing, and it's wet and it's cold outside, and maybe your new jeans are dragging in the puddles of New York City. At least you know that your homies are going to be there trying to talk some weird shit about great family relationships, and that you're going to get to put some Al Cajino down the hatch.
I love that, you know? For everyone. Oh, I just spilled wine on the computer. Now, the other bit we're doing this season, and again, Kevin, this is a great idea. I don't think I've said that yet.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's a great idea.
Awesome.
We're having our guests quasi-pick the wine, except for circumstances that have spiraled out of our control. These are not the wines Amanda wanted.
I gave them at least six options of things I was excited about in both grapes, and neither of those came to fruition.
Yeah, we said kind of like, fuck you.
Actually, like, this is an interesting point to actually talk about. Like, it was so fucking hard to find one of these Cabernet Sauvignons that wasn't like a good one. Like, it was like really hard. And
yeah.
It's like, what's so fucking weird?
Well,
it's like,
to be fair, and I definitely have like thoughts and opinions about this. First of all, I think the reason it's great to work with these two grape varieties, and perhaps Cabernet has suffered the most from this issue.
Yeah.
Is that whenever a grape variety becomes culty, which is such a problem, like when one variety, and of course, because of the Western world and especially the US thinking about things like in this sort of monocultural and monolithic way, when a variety becomes famous, instantaneously for the next 10 to 40 years, the globe will be suffused with versions of this one grape variety vinified on its own that are going to suck.
Yeah.
And that is like such a goddamn bummer, because it means that when you go looking for great artisanal examples, or just examples with more character and more specificity that are not all handled in a homogenous way, you won't be able to find them. Even though I was like, I could think of five Cabernet Sauvignons that I was really excited to share with you guys in particular, because they're against this curve. Right. They're super fucking
hard to find. It's like, oh yeah, I think that the importer that was importing it was like losing money on bringing that
They
stopped.
Totally.
Because no one would buy it.
Totally.
Because why would you sell 100% Cabernet Sauvignon from Tuscany when people just want something from California? It's like there's not a place for it.
Especially if they're well made and they're sort of, they don't fit the monolithic character again.
It almost becomes easier at that point to sell something more esoteric.
Yeah, Cuckoo-Cachou, for sure. Right? Just to get it away from the famous brand variety, you know?
And so it's just, it's wild.
So I think that both of these grapes suffer from this problem.
Well, now, astute listeners will recall that last year, I was convinced would be the summer of Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing that Amanda Slutz and I talked about in our private life. We're dating, and okay, we're fucking. Is that better?
Not by a long shot, my dude.
We're trying. We're trying to conceive.
Oh my god! Not very hard.
No.
That's what I hear in your bedroom every night. Yeah. I've been sleeping on the couch.
Oh, yeah. What you guys don't know is that the reason we've introduced a family affair is that we're actually we're all seeing each other. And this is the big reveal. We were going to do it like this is the other shtick that I had going for today, is that this is a soap opera. It's a family affair. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about the bold and beautiful today, which is great, because the other binary of these two wines is which one is the bold and which one is the beautiful.
Oh.
If we don't like that, we can go even farther to the offshoot soap opera, which my mom was obsessed with, called The Young and the Restless.
Okay. Yeah.
Which one is the restless?
That's great. This is restless. And I'm going to just say that if you're not understanding this episode, you should watch on Netflix, Couple to Thruple. and it's going to really, it's on Hulu. That's going to explain the dynamics here. Uh-huh. It actually is a lot of work to like move your relationship to the next level. And I'm glad we're all doing it together.
I for one, am ready for new challenges and experiences in my life.
I'm ready for some nude challenges.
I'm so sorry. So on this show, are there nude challenges? Is it like a reality game show?
So here's my pitch.
One, which throuple wins?
It is an incredible premise for a TV show. But they don't stick the landing because none of the couples are like, they're all like kind of squicked out to start.
Uh-huh.
And what you really need is you need like the most creepy, like Bushwick style couples who are like, we've been doing this.
Yeah,
they've been in it for 7 years. They have no problems at all. Yeah. They all skateboard. Like, it's fine.
On episode 3, like they're breaking down, watching each other give someone else a massage. And you're like, no. I want to see your Google Calendar.
Totes.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was more of a logistics based kind of show. Yeah,
I want this to get weird. You're not even bringing it there.
Can we talk about your appointments? Yeah.
What's the first wine we're drinking today?
I'm going to go ahead and take this one. This is my friend Andreas Scheppa, as the only functional member of this thruple. This is my friend Andreas Scheppa, who is one of the five members of this informal group called Schmecke Das Leben, which we have talked about on this podcast before. I need to bring up Schmecke Das Leben every time we're drinking one of these guys because I think it's the funniest group name I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Which means taste the life.
Now,
taste the life, my friends.
It's important to know that Austrians, we finished our Austro-Hungarian season and I'm no longer being paid by the nation of Austria to say anything. They are the least cool people on earth.
They're not fun. They are often friendly. They can be warm. Mm-hmm. They can be thoughtful. But what they are not is that fun. There's very few exceptions. I'm not going to name them here.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to cause any fights. But the point is, they're not like a freewheeling people.
No.
You know? And also, I wouldn't like try to go pick out stand-up comics from their nation either. I would, however, choose sensitive, thoughtful, reflective vintners and great farmers, which the country does have a delightful number of. And to me, Andreas Scheppa is one of the most sort of lovely that they've got. So this is from Styria. Andreas has been doing this for probably 20 years at this point, 15 to 20. John, your finger is
who's
up.
The fifth member? So because it's Scheppa. It's mm-hmm. Muster, mm-hmm. Verlich, mm-hmm. it's Taus.
Ringo. Yes.
Yeah. Who's the last one? Who's the Capodanno?
Hang on, what do we have? We have, you said Muster, Verlich, Taus.
Scheppa.
Oh my God, I'm blanking. Oh, Strohmeier.
Strohmeier. Yeah, I forgot about, can never forget about Stroh.
Old Strobo. Andreas's wines out of this whole group to me are quite particular. The reason that I've loved them so much is that even though that he's in a stretch of the Steiermark, which is where a lot of the other guys are located, not Strohmeier, but the rest of them are really mm-hmm. quite close to each other. Very forested, very sloping, hilly vineyards with lots of limestone and clay that mm-hmm. it's in the zone. Andreas's stuff, he's actually rebuilt his terraces on his own vineyards, and they're very steep and very hard to work, right up against forest at the bottom of sort of his hills and parcels. There is just something in the wines that is always very soft, very ethereal, and very expressive to me. Like there's a really gentle, beautiful touch in his wines. This bottle that we chose for today
is
a strange bird. So we have what would normally be his Grauna Libelle, which is green dragonfly.
That is such a dumb way of saying green dragonfly. Arribola.
Grauna Libelle.
That's very good.
It's quite good. It is always his Sauvignon Blanc Cuvée. However, in both the vintages 2017 and now in 2021, he's made one called Green Dragonfly Plus.
I love, this is a thing that other people in the Schmecken 11 seems to do, like the plus.
He said 7-Eleven in Austrian German.
Wait, is it like Disney Plus? Like you just get a little bit extra?
There is some extra.
Yeah, the extra is RS.
Yeah. The extra is pour some sugar on me in the name of love. Mm-hmm. Scheppa has done this, to my knowledge, only in two vintages where there were fermentations that were really quite slow and problematic because of issues with weather, either with heat in 17 or with a lot of rain and unexpected sort of chilly harvest in 2021. Plus, he was in the middle of digging out a hillside and building a brand new cellar, so he was rather busy at the time and didn't have like the proper resources to sort of cope with this freaky-deaky harvest. Anywho, so this one has a bit of RS to it, and it was bottled under a crown cap, and it did, in fact, foam up a little bit when we opened it, but now the trapped CO2 is like gonzo.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can still see if you look at it. It's like a fine nest of beads.
That's exactly what we call trapped CO2, is a fine nest of beads.
Don't make fun of me.
I'm not at all.
Guys, come on, let's check in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Now I'm
holding Kevin's arm. You guys can't see it, but I'm holding his
arm. I'm practicing compersion. I'm not jealous.
But I think this is fascinating because if you gave it to me blind, I might not get to this grape variety on its own. I might go to something like Chenin first or some aromatic variety that's more common in Austria. I might say like, maybe it's a Pinot Blanc. Actually, Pinot Bianco, I think I definitely would guess that, or with a little bit of like a Muscateller or a Welsh Riesling blended in for aromatics.
I want to fight you on that because you're right, it doesn't taste like Sauvignon Blanc, but the one thing it does have in common with Sauvignon Blanc is a grape that fucks. Even in like the weirdest.
Yeah.
Like the like, unfortunately, Sancerre fucks. It shouldn't. It's not good. It's not.
I don't know, dude. I have so many problems. I have problems.
Let me finish. Sancerre sucks. We hate Sancerre. Sancerre does have a little bit of swagger. Pinot Blanc is not a grape that has any swag.
Yeah, but that's not its fault. It's because it hasn't been made into like a major global brand.
And right? I'm just Sauvignon saying
Blanc did get made that, into that. Like,
when you taste this wine, there is a verve and an energy. This wine's got very much confidence. Mm-hmm. Very much confidence.
No doubt. I mean, Pinot Blanc.
No doubt.
Pinot Blanc is definitely... I do think Pinot Blanc is like a nerd on the streets, but a freak in the sheets.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Pinot Blanc is like, get out of my sheets and into my car. Yeah.
Get out of my sheets.
I'm going to drop you off at the train station.
We're going to do this the right way, and it's going to be in the back of my red Mustang with black leather interior.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's specific. I know. It's too specific. Here is the thing. It's also lightly oxidative, which I remember from the 17 when he had this other plus vintage. It was also much more oxidative than his wines normally are. Not like crazy, crazy sort of Jura style, but like verging on that a touch.
You are the only guest we're having this season who we are going to allow to pick a Sauvignon Blanc from Styria.
Uh-huh.
Because I do think this is kind of cheating because Sauvignon Blanc from Styria.
It's God tier.
It's like it's the best Sauvignon Blanc has ever looked. And it's like the one that everyone makes an excuse for. Like, oh, I don't like Sauvignon Blanc. Unless it's from Styria, from one of five guys.
but also, and I'm really excited because I think in the next 10 years, 15 years, as it moves into a second generation of young growers there, that they're going to start basically becoming another Sancerre and hopefully it won't go industrial. You know, like there's already a bunch of industrial shit down there.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm hoping that, you know, a lot of those vineyards will start to come into young people's hands who are really smart winemakers. And I've seen shit in barrel there where you're like, holy crap. Like,
you've seen things.
I've fucking seen things, y'all. And I'm haunted. Mm-hmm. I'm spooped. Sauvignon Blanc got me spooped, y'all.
Well, for me, the thing about Sheppa is really interesting. One, because out of the whole Taste the Life movement, Sheppa is like the most shooting for the fences. Like, I think Verlich is like, it's a fantastic winemaker, yada, yada, yada. I don't like one. You don't need me to say that Verlich is like some of the most compelling wine in the world. Muster is like the most reliable, just like a pickpocket knife. Taus, a pocket knife. Mm-hmm.
A pickpocket knife.
A pickpocket knife. I'm so tired, Kevin. Yeah. Taus is, I think, like also like really like in the zone. Sheppa's not oftentimes in the, Sheppa always feels like it's like swing or a miss. Mm. And like I've had some fucked up bottles, and I've had bottles that made me like cry.
Yeah, I think with Andreas's wines, like everything gets made in really, really big barrel, and every time I taste them, you know, barrel or young and in Austria, and they haven't been exported or whatever, versus when I get more young releases in bottle here, I'm convinced. I'm like, okay, we're not doing these a justice at all unless we give them 5 years.
Yeah.
Like I just think in order to regain their original delicacy and. It's really weird, but his wines are like vibrational to me. And actually, there's this, if you guys will allow me to tell a small anecdote about when I met him.
Kevin, let's check in. Is that cool?
Is it allowed?
I'll allow it.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I'll allow it too.
The audience at home can't tell that I won't look at John. I'm only checking in with Kevin
there's
for permission.
There's a little bit of tension in here. We're working through it.
Yeah. If you want to help us work through it, it's patreon.com/discourages. Every dollar you send us for the next 3 weeks, I will spend on therapy, which is unfortunately what I call doing drugs.
Andreas was talking about, he's like a very quiet, soft-spoken fellow, and he has a sort of like imp's face. There's a very impish sort of face about him.
That sucks so bad to be described as having an imp's face.
You know, but like very like startlingly blue eyes, but also like narrow face, sort of impish features and like very mischievous kind of, you know, grin about him.
Okay.
And his wife is so absolutely beautiful that you're just kind of like, wow. Like, wow, how did he do that?
How did he do
that kind of? She's stunning. But they're both very sweet, and he's very quiet and mischievous.
Winemakers is imps, too. Go and brush your shoulder off. Have you ever thought about it like that?
I really hate it.
I'm kind of into hip-hop. I know you're more country.
Yeah, way. Anyway, he was talking about you know, the cellar versus the vineyards. And he just sort of said very quietly, you know, the older I get and the longer I do this, the more I really love to be in the vineyards. Mm-hmm. He said, I just feel so nice when I'm there working. He said, every year it's more and more. It's just, it feels so good. And he said, and you know, my kids are really playing a lot of internet video games. And he was like it's some, it's, he's like, you know, Minecraft and World of Warcraft and all
Minecraft
of these crafts.
Minecraft in German means my craft.
Oh yeah, sure. And he's like, you know, all of these crafts that I don't really understand. And I was like, Dad, you poor sweetie.
Craft witch.
But he really, you know, some people say like, oh, I love to be in the vineyards. But in that moment I was like, this dude has a sort of meditative practice that translates into the wines. Like it's very, they're very soft. They're really, very delicate. And they don't scream at me with grape variety first. Instead, they just seem to have his touch and like the foresty feeling of the kind of climate.
Foresty is correct.
Another thing about my experience with, I guess, a lot of these producers is it's, they don't often do 100% soft. Like it's soft Chard blend.
Absolutely. Right? Like absolutely.
Or something else that's indigenous to there. So like the idea of this being 100% Sauvignon Blanc anyway, like how many of them make a 100% Sauvignon Blanc today?
Very few. Mooster does have one, yeah.
And then I think the rest are almost all Chard.
Verlich will sometimes bottle on its own, but frequently he does vineyard site instead. Vineyard
site, right, yeah.
So those things go together.
There's a big difference. And that's like part of the thing is like when you're talking about grape like this, like these are two grapes that have become synonymous with like name of grape on bottle.
Totally.
Name of grape on bottle. Whether it's New World or Old World, fake things, obviously, but like it's become like even in the quote unquote old world, people are kind of like, ooh, should I put Sauvignon Blanc on the label so people know if it's 100%, which it, you know, isn't as often. But I think that that's like
an aspect of actually no words in the label. It's just a fucking bug.
Well, and then that's when you get into this. Obviously, we're talking for like wine people in general, but when you get into this sort of bigger problem of when you go back into the normal world and there's normies drinking wine, the what they think of as Sauvignon Blanc is buck fucking wild. Like it's the most stripped raw, along with Pinot Gris.
Right.
Like it's those are probably the two white grape varieties that have been like pushed and pushed and pushed and just turned into like paint thinner more than any other varieties on the planet.
Right.
And that's what most people drink. So they have no clue that a wine like this can come from this grape variety. And to me, that's what like, that's like what's dog shit to me about this. And that's why I'm glad we're drinking these grape varieties, because for years as a less mature individual, I actively avoided drinking anything made from these grapes because I was just like, I hate what they are, what they've become and what they taste
what
like.
What they represented. And like also what was being put in front of you probably wasn't.
Constantly, dude. Constantly. Right.
Yeah. We've made our bones by dunking on Sauvignon Blanc.
Right.
That's like
episode one.
Episode one of Disgorgeous is like,
Sancerre sucks.
Yeah. Hey, we're the angry young guys in wine. We think Sancerre's not very good.
Well, yeah, but also, what were the seven episodes that I'm sure I did with you guys that were like, if you like Cab Sauv, you're a cop. It's Cop Sauvignon. It's Copernay.
Right. Ooh, Copernay Sauvignon.
Yeah. It's cop wine, clearly.
We made a t-shirt that said all cabs
are Bordeaux.
Are Bordeaux.
Honestly, the Venn diagram of like dudes in New York who go to restaurants to drink wine that will order Cabernet Sauvignon. That's one part of the Venn diagram. The other part of the Venn diagram is dudes who assault people. That is a very heavy overlay. That I don't want to have a grape variety be that deeply connected in my mind with people's behavior.
And it's also like, that's not the grape's fucking fault.
No, for sure
it's
not.
Just late ripening. I mean, come on. Like, it didn't know.
It's just a big old fella.
We have to talk about Cabernet.
We have, you know, it's just, he didn't know that his cedar box reality would become something that would be aligned with criminality and abuse.
Right. Wow, that is... You are firing on a lot
of cylinders. I'm sorry. I've just had one glass of the Magic Chepa, and I am ready to rock. And also, I've been threatened to be in a thruple with these guys. I am.
Threatened.
Privileged.
Guys, let's check in again.
Let's check in.
You're right.
You're being really hostile.
You're right.
Are you not having your needs met in this
relationship? Yeah, it's because I'm jealous of the two of you and the love that you have for each other.
I know that we were the couple originally, and that we added you as our third, but we really think of this as an equal partnership.
That's nice because
We have more votes than you do, but we're bigger.
That's cool. Yeah. Now is my time to tell you guys that I'm starting a winery next year. It's called Third Wheel, and it is only Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc.
That's so tight.
Can I be an investor in that?
Yeah. Absolutely, because I'm not letting any of these finance Cabernet Sauvignon guys invest in me.
I'm practicing the phrase, can I invest in that? That's like, that's my new thing for 2024. Hey, can I invest in that? And I just dip. I don't do it. But people think I got investing money.
Yeah, that's good. And it'll keep you in mind for future projects.
Yeah, for future projects. Like, oh, cool. Like the one where we're just printing money? Yeah.
Like, oh, that one, I would hop into that one.
Oh, double guarantee? Yeah.
Your network is your network.
Yeah, dude. Every day I say, I'm grinding so hard.
So my vibe on the Sheppa is I was thinking that this wine was going to be more screwy than it is.
Yeah, it's not screwy. That screwy.
It's not screwy, and actually really, I find it very really charming. Good. Yep, charming I find it very right charming.
Word. It's a charming wine.
It's rustic, and a lot of times I think these wines feel more ethereal, and the RS is holding it.
Yeah.
It gives it like a base note that's not normally there. And I completely agree.
It feels almost like it's not unlike drinking from the tank or something before it's done fermenting or something.
It is not the wine's fault. It is $70.
Oh, honey.
It's not the wine's fault.
Oh, honey.
It's okay.
Like
it's so goddamn mineral, though, also. Mm-hmm. And the RS is being worn pretty handsome, I feel like.
I mean, this is like kind of the problem with culty winemakers is like if you develop a cult and all their wines become incredibly expensive, when they do like a one-off silly bottling that maybe doesn't stand up to the rest of the canon,
uh-huh,
it's still going to be $70 and you have to fight to get a bottle of it.
It's true.
Which is just like, again, it's no one's fault. And we
also, though, to be said, like this bottle was,
it's got some age on it.
Findable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Findable at one store.
Yeah. These wines aren't.
Totally.
So obviously people, I think because, I'm about this at Discovery, and he did a good job of being like, you know this one is sweet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, right. Okay, I did not realize
well,
that.
Well, I also have to say, and not just the crown cap, I appreciate when winemakers, I really think this is a legitimate way of doing things, because instead of pushing your wines to look like something they're actually not if you have an insane vintage, mm-hmm, I like the idea of being like, this is still my traditional label for this wine. However, I'm going to call it plus in this vintage because it does not in fact present the way that it usually does from year to year. And that gives the winemaker the opportunity, A, to still sell their wine and make their wine, but B, also to be honest with the people drinking it. Yeah, to be honest. And I really think that's a fair, like there's a relationship between this Savvy B and the other ones that he does, but it is not going to present the same. And I think that's a really lovely way of handling this stuff.
Yeah.
And it keeps people from being like, this one's fucking weird next to all the other ones, which is such an intolerant way of thinking about wine. And like, it's very product driven. Mm-hmm. And this is my genuine bone to pick with both of these grape varieties.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That they're given the product.
They're the, products,
they're
right?
the product yeah, treatment.
They're the iPhone of wines.
Whoa. 100%. Yeah. One of them is Mac. The other is PC. And obviously Cabernet is PC because no
do you remember those commercials?
That's just the dorkiest fucking dudes on the, do you guys work with PCs? Because
I think every company is supposed to. My company does.
Like I know that I'm an absolute moron for only being able to use Apple products because they've like infiltrated my brain. And I'm like, this one's prettier than everything else, and I don't know how anything else works because I'm looking.
PCs are confusing
and ugly.
Yeah.
Don't make me touch ugly stuff all day long. No, that's my feeling.
I mean, that's such a beautiful thing that I think everyone here should learn. Don't make me touch
ugly stuff all day long.
Ever.
I mean, especially because so much of my life is torture that if it's ugly too, I'm really not going to sit here for this shit. You know what I mean?
Sometimes I just walk into a wine store and I'm like, I'm too hot to be here. Like, and I'm not that hot. Like, I'm like the ugliest member of this thruple, but I am the richest.
Yeah, for sure. He's got investing money, just so you guys know. So he's asked for the Patreon, but that's actually just a ploy. That's a decoy.
I'm flipping it.
Yeah, he's 100% ready to fucking vibe. If you've got some weird thruple startup, John is into it. Yeah,
you're going on Shark Tank this season, right?
I'm making polyamory legit this
he's
year.
He's also
finance. Here's the plan.
He's
I'm
also
fucking two of you.
He's financing my winery called Third Wheel. It's only Cabernet and Sauvignon Blanc. This is going to be a big year for us. I mean, feel like 2024, big year.
What if we triple kissed? That would break the wine internet.
We are not even the full way through this first bottle of wine, and John is asking for a triple kiss.
No, I'm saying what if.
Okay, John has floated the idea.
Have you seen Inception? I'm doing that to you guys.
Okay,
you're accepting,
okay.
You guys are
going to
dream
about it. Hold on, let me get
my
top out. Anyway, to return to our friend Sheppa the Savvy B, I love this bottle because I think it is very clear proof of, even in a weird vintage and a challenging vintage with an imperfect fermentation in the cellar, that a beautiful wine can come out of that kind of thing.
Well, especially if the farming is right.
100%. And his vineyards are stunning, and his vineyard care is really special. But also that this does not taste, quote, like a Sauvignon Blanc, which means that the variety is capable of way more expression than what we normally give it.
And again, we're not going to let anyone else do this to us because like, this is a fantastic wine. It does not present Sauvignon Blanc-y.
Or maybe it does, and that's the point.
That's the point, right? Like when you think about, I'm sure if you read the Jancis Robinson entry for Sauvignon Blanc, it probably says like,
good.
This grape tastes
green like, apple. Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Cat pee and
like, oh, well, you can plant it everywhere,
and it'll exactly do the same thing.
I mean, it's like New Zealand is obviously different than here because that one's cat pee and this one's grass or whatever. But it's like mostly like you're getting what you get.
Yeah,
that's because you're fucking torturing it.
Of course, of course, and you're using the same three factory yeasts literally all over the world to ferment this thing to make it smell like gooseberry, whatever the fuck that is, and
big
pink
yeast,
and pink grapefruit.
You're on notice.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm coming for you, factory yeast producers.
Big yeast, big freaks.
No,
comunque. I think any wine that you can, because I want to taste both things this season. I want to taste the ones that are, oh, this is not what you would expect to be from this grape. Mm-hmm. And I want to taste like, this is sort of what you would expect. And I think maybe the next one might be more in that vein.
Totes.
Or like, this is like kind of what you expect if it was less bad than you were expecting or whatever. Like, I want to taste the gamut of everything.
Yeah,
the
for gamut. Sure.
It's interesting because, again, I think if we did a season 2 years ago, I would say, I don't like Sauvignon Blanc and I don't like Cabernet Sauvignon. Mm. Right now, my vibe is I don't like Cabernet Sauvignon. I don't like French Sauvignon Blanc. It's not true. I've had some good French. I don't like Sancerre. I will say until the day I die, I like Sancerre Rouge, though. But Sauvignon Blanc is a thing that I've been experimenting with, and I really like it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I hope that becomes true about Cabernet Sauvignon as well.
I don't. Can you imagine how boring I'd be if I liked red wine?
I just think as long as you don't go into that Venn diagram that I was discussing earlier, it's really a very honest thing to like Cabernet Sauvignon. I think that...
And this relationship's all about honesty, saying how we feel.
I mean, getting it on our Google
calendar. From Sauvignon Blanc, which you just said you like, and Cabernet Franc, which I know you love.
And it's also not freaky parents' fault if they do end up with a kid who wants to work in politics.
Which one's the daddy and which one's the baby? Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc? They have a daddy-baby
Cabernet
relationship.
Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc? No, they're... Yes. Mommy, daddy is Sauvignon Blanc and Cab Franc.
Yep.
Okay.
Those are mommy and daddy, or daddy and daddy, or mommy and mommy, or whatever. And baby is Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is why the green quality of it is bumped up so, so fucking hard, because both of those varieties are quite, you know, herbal. Yeah.
Now, my question... I'm sorry.
Calm down.
I'm doing English. Why is Cabernet Sauvignon, how did it claw its way to the top of the heap when like everything else is more delicious?
It's a really interesting question. I've been thinking about it because.
Let's have some Cab Sauvignon.
Fucking A, let's do it. Let's go, boys.
When you like.
Let's go, boys.
When you think like, when you talk about Cabernet Sauvignon, even in Bordeaux, it's like. This actually isn't a very good place for this grape.
This is so
It's fucking, really not quite warm enough.
Oh, hard disagree. I think that's the reason that grape variety is so beautiful there. Because it's cold, because it's Atlantic, because it's in well-draining soils and so on. That's where you get, frankly, I cannot believe I'm going to publicly stand.
I love this.
Because it's really perverted
to do this.
It's perverted. If you were farming correctly, and if you were not a rich mercantile fuck who made all of your money by shipping things back and forth from like Caribbean colonies into your home country.
Yeah, I want to maybe, instead of things, let's be more explicit. They're slave-owning monsters.
Okay, right. So if you weren't building colonial wealth in a colonial port setting, and you were just... like very interesting grape farmers who happened to make wine as well, which is how that shit started. And then it became an enormous mercantile port thing, right? River systems are a beautiful place for doing grape varieties like this, like well-draining soils, cooler climates. Like it's warm there, but it's not blisteringly hot. The Atlantic keeps it cold. And there's these two rivers that do a lot of really beautiful alluvial stuff, which is why both Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon are so stunning in this region, right? It's just that we never get to see this shit because the number of people making real Bordeaux that any of us can access is like in the 0.05 percentile, correct. You know, or less.
We did it a whole season on Bordeaux.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And how many of them did you guys bottles. Like? Yeah.
Right. I have not bought a single bottle of Bordeaux since then. Yeah.
Exactly. This is a very sad
And my
part
point
of it.
Wasn't that like, I don't think it's warm enough for Cabernet Sauvignon, but that the people who were trying to make the wine that they want to make.
Just taking your hoops out.
I'm fucking taking my hoops out right now. Oh, my door knockers, dude. I literally took them off.
Tend to prefer Merlot over it because they don't think it's quite warm enough. Mm-hmm. And yet it became such a big part of that blend. Mm-hmm.
My feeling is that I think so many people were trying to get what Bordeaux has, especially when you hit like the 70s and the 80s, that's why the grapes proliferated everywhere that they did.
And one year in particular, 1982. You can read about it at punchmagazine.com.
Or at anything that Robert Parker has ever written.
No, you read my article.
Oh, okay.
I need the clicks.
Okay, sick. Anywho, I think that, you know, the transition from Bordeaux to California in particular, where there's so much more sunshine and there's, it's not at all about river systems in hardly any pocket of that state. Instead,
one might say they have a drought.
One might. When you take this variety and you put it somewhere where, like, yeah, it's really vigorous and you can throw cab in the ground anywhere and it will fucking grow. Like, it's just one of the hardiest, most vigorous vegetal goddamn plants. Like, when you see it next to other varieties in a vineyard and stuff, you're like, who put, you know, Frankenstein in here? And you're like, are you sure that's not an American wild
Frankenstein's
vine?
Monster.
It is, in fact, the monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Frankenstein was a scientist. He was probably a weedy.
Well, what if he was really large and vegetal? I don't know. Like, what if he was like a sturdy vegetal individual?
Like Swamp Thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what? Yeah.
He was a scientist, wasn't he?
Yeah, who put Swamp Thing with Frankenstein's monster together in the ground? So,
what you're suggesting is a unified world of monsters.
Cabernet Sauvignon is a monster variety, is what I'm trying to get at. It's an
Godzilla, Loch Ness, King Kong, Gobble of No
everybody
Conscience.
Together now. Anywho, I think when you put it in California where it's like sunshine Magoo for life, what you get is this very powerful iteration of this grape variety. And everyone was like, holy shit, this is like the beautiful Bordeaux stuff we all really liked, but now it's on drugs. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't like that? I don't know.
Drugs were harder to get back then.
Absolutely.
So. Drugs are so easy to get now.
It's very easy to get drugs.
Honestly. And some of them, good. Some of them, yikes. I really wish we could put that back in the box where it came from.
What's your least favorite drug? What don't you think we should get?
I mean, I was thinking of ketamine myself. I would put that
I'm oftentimes
back.
Thinking of ketamine.
Like, I would definitely put that one back in the box, I think.
Well, the horses can have it.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's good for the horses.
Yeah, they need
What's good for the horses is good for the handler. If you ride horses, you can do ketamine.
Hey, you know what? Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Yeah. Oh,
nice. Maybe this is your knife. That's good, boys.
I wish I had it like a little, like a real radio disc jockey.
Like a soundboard?
Yeah, you know what I mean.
You can play the drop.
Now,
that's good, boys.
What, in what world do you think if we had a soundboard, we'd give it to you?
Somebody stop me.
I'll take what's mine. Yeah. I'll take what belongs to me.
I think I'm the twitchiest of all three of us. I'm the one with the soundboard access. Otherwise, I will just like my hands will be doing nothing.
You're right. Your hands need something to do.
Yeah.
Fully occupied.
Otherwise, I'm gonna get weird. This wine's actually good, which I was kind of mad about.
Okay, we got the Cabernet in the glass. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Kevin, take it away. Get in here. Who is she?
This is Ceritas. Mm-hmm. This is so. Let's start from the beginning. We're
Wax
trying to
cap.
Buy a different wine.
Okay, at least four.
At least four or five.
I picked out at least four or five.
I thought I had tracked down something that was going to fit the bill. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm at the wine store. My phone is dead. I can't text you guys anymore. They don't have any of the stuff that it said they had on the internet.
That's
this
so
bottle
tight.
Is really high up. I see it. I don't think I'm supposed to see it. I'm like, can I have that one?
Like, oh, you wouldn't like that, sir.
I've liked these guys' Chardonnays in the past. Mm-hmm.
I think
they're like delicious. Mm-hmm. They do have like big California guy energy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of vests on the website. It's a lot of...
It's not just vests on the website, girl.
Well, I think they're wearing them in real life, too.
Did you have to put on a fleece vest in order to get them to get this bottle down off the tall shelf?
That's why they made me do that.
Yeah, they're like, here, put on this Patagonia real quick, and then you're allowed to have this. Actually, these penny loafers,
if you guys are listening, I would like to invest in your winery.
Oh, God.
Because I think this is
don't need your
a
money.
Winner.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you can just give me money, guys. Patreon.com/disgorgeous.
I do think that there is this moment in California with Cabernet.
Yes.
And I think that, like, it happens to be people that have some money maybe who are starting these projects, but also understand that, like,
money.
We can kind of farm not quite where everyone has been farming the whole time. Mm. We can get a little cooler. We can like do something a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. This has 40% new oak on it, apparently.
To be honest, I smell it a lot, but I'm thinking about how this is such a
40%.
40%.
Yeah. This is not, I mean, I smell
she's
new oak.
She's slinky.
I mean,
she's,
if you told
she's,
me 5 to 10, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. But it's like, it's.
Well, it's also 40% new oak is like such a perverse thing to say. It's like,
it feels wrong in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would never say that. Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm quoting someone else who said it.
Yeah, not me.
Not me.
Do you remember when you used to make me drink white roans at dinner?
Yeah, I thought about making that be the next season. I would do. It's gonna come up eventually,
guys. I'm not gonna lie, that's so much wood. it's on my teeth.
Uh-huh. And it's there.
It's on my teeth.
Yeah. We should do a roan season. That would be cool.
I fuck with that. Have we?
Okay. For sure.
Here are the things I will say in favor of this bad boy. It tastes cool and not hot.
Yes. It is cool.
It tastes like alcohol levels are actually in place. Mm-hmm. It is not, in fact, opaque in the glass. Uh-huh. There is still some acidity. I just wish I could feel the grape variety a little more clearly because to me the wood does interfere.
I do think that that is a feeling of like this is our $90 Cabernet.
Well, you gotta put like this wood. Slinky dress on it. You know,
like, I mean, it's and that's the same thing of expectations. Like,
yeah, totes.
Who is buying this bottle? What are they expecting?
I mean, we are an anomaly buying this bottle.
I think absolutely.
There's not a lot of natural wine podcasters, of which there are many, and I respect all of them, buying this bottle.
Well, and also. When you consider the audience that these wines are probably being aimed at, this would read 10 times more elegant and more lithe than the vast majority of what is presented to people.
This wine also smells and tastes like money.
Yeah.
Yep. She's presenting that way. Yeah. But I don't know when the last time is that you guys have tasted a bottle of Silver Oak, for example, but it is.
I don't know if I ever have.
It is a goddamn train wreck. It is a goddamn train wreck and an offense before God. And I would rather do this every day of the week over that. But I wish for that sort of, the like woodsy transparency, the like, Atlantic coast, the riverbed, the forest, like this just sort of feels like, man, you can get like beautiful fruit in California and gloss, but it's hard for me to feel things like, you know, woods and soil. And I want that in this grape variety because it is such a vegetal, like woodsy boy.
I mean, I'm not getting a lot of vegetality.
No. There's no shitty pyrazines. Mm-hmm. You know,
vegetosness.
Vegetosity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a vegetosamite sandwich. So I appreciate this bottle because it's making me long for the things that I know are missing. Because if it were just a train wreck, I would be like, spit it out. I'm going to go get the Pinot Noir that's open in the fridge right now.
The thing that's wild about this is like, there are people for whom this would be disappointing in the opposite way.
That is,
not blowhardy enough.
Why did I spend all this money on this wine?
Are wine professionals. 100%. Right? Which is because like, I think the thing that we need to reckon and wrestle with is that not only are Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc beloved of like normal people who we have nothing but disdain for, obviously, but a huge swath of the serious wine people, like Psalms and Cognoscetti, et cetera, like their understanding of wine sort of begins and ends with like Cabernet Sauvignon, Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir. And like,
that's how I learned. Those are the first varieties because I learned California first.
Yeah, it's 100%. It's crazy. But I mean, like, we live in such a rarefied space that we're like we can kind of ignore shit like this. But like, I don't know if this wine podcast was 10 years ago, which is when we started, it would be, we'd have to wrestle with this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We just came at the right time where like, we got to ignore it because we're like angry young wine people.
Right.
But like this is what wine tastes like for so many people.
The use of wine, the purpose of wine has shifted so much. Mm. And then like when you think about I think glue wines for the sake of being glue is also something that can really bum me out.
Oh,
like,
same.
Like absolutely. Wines of nothing.
Absolutely.
To be nothing are really sad in the other end of the spectrum of something like
there's
this.
There's also 100%. A really great article you could read about that too.
Like here's what I'm not complaining about in this wine. I'm not complaining about extraction. Mm-hmm. No. I'm not complaining about body. Mm-hmm. I'm not complaining about weight. Mm-hmm. I actually think all of those things are properly expressed here and are very well handled. Mm-hmm. In other words, it tastes like a red wine made from Cabernet, like it should.
Yeah, my other problem with this wine is literally the aesthetics of this wine. Like,
it's taste and it's style, and that and it's an important thing. When Kevin is talking about who is this wine for, it's doing what it's supposed to do. What you're talking about is like consumer expectation because of taste and style, but not because of the grape variety.
If you are a upper middle class person,
you're definitely not listening to this podcast.
Let me know because I have some money to invest. So just let me know. And you are maybe in this. They do a lot of DTC, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you're getting six bottles of this every vintage or something. Mm-hmm. It's like in your little wine cellar, and you are cooking a fucking steak on your really cool expensive grill, and you're drinking this wine.
You are. Outside of Chicago, you're in Oak Park, Illinois. I know exactly who you are, where you live.
You're having the time of your fucking life.
You're all of my university friends' dads.
Yes.
Every single one of them. The only white wine that's in your cellar is Chardonnay. The only one. And you're like, I don't really like white wine. You're having the time of your life with this bottle of wine.
The only white wine that's in my cellar right now is Chardonnay, but that's because I like white wine so much that I can't keep it around. It's only the fucking Chardonnay that I'm making myself age.
Right.
Every time there's a bottle of Riesling, that's fucking gone. Mm-hmm. The Sylvaner, no, I drank that.
Yeah.
You had friends over. That was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah,
oopsies. Right.
But check me out. I look forward to, and this one goes out to all my Cali homies, because just like I was saying about in Southern Austria, I think that's going to come around. I think that's happening in California right now where people can afford it and can actually do it. But I can't wait until there's a generation of young people in California who get access to these fucking cool, now really interesting old like vineyard sites full of Cabernet, can actually make some like really transparent wines off.
There
of
are some
vineyards.
People starting to do it, and I can't wait.
Like, send me those bottles of Cab. I want to drink them.
Yeah.
You know, something that's actually, this is, I think, a very fun first episode of the season to get meta, because like, as I said before, like the only thing I don't like about this wine is like, I'm not crazy about the oak treatment, which I see why they did it, but it's like, it's not for me. Like, explicitly, this wine isn't for me. And so often, I think my instinctual feeling with these is like to counterpunch, like, this is evil. And like, a lot of times, wine I don't like is like, there's something
they're
wrong
doing
with
a bad.
It.
Yeah.
This right. is fucking great wine. I just don't care for it.
Yeah.
Which I think is damning with faint praise, maybe, but this is like, this is a great kind of getting our toes in here, like, okay. This doesn't taste like a manipulated bullshit wine. It's just like,
it's just wearing a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
But also, doesn't Ceritas, I think everything that they are in charge of the farming for, I believe it's all farmed biodynamically, if I have that correct. I don't know if that's true, although they do.
I think because like not everything is their vineyards.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
especially in this bottling, I don't remember. Some of the language is five sources. A little bit vague, where it's just like the farming is right for the place. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a little bit of that language. I do think that a lot of the vineyards that they're farming is biodynamic.
Right.
I mean, something I've been thinking about right now, and spoiler, I'm writing about it, is farming in California.
Mm-hmm.
And how, especially when you look at a California winemaker's website, how the kind of hoops they jump through to kind of like hint, imply, suggest that they are doing the farming, because that is still the idiom people think about. Mm. I don't think that's the only way to make wine. This isn't me being like, oh, old world wine does this, new what? But it is funny when you look at like expensive California wines, the way that they kind of, they hide from the fact that quite a lot of the fruit they are purchasing.
Yeah. And honestly, like, it's interesting because I feel like when you are behind the curtain, when you're in the industry, like when I'm at work and I'm talking.
This is work.
Oh, you're right.
This thruple is working.
Maybe a producer that we don't represent. We're talking about like, you know, a bottle, someone had it. It's a California, whatever. Oh, it's pretty good. And it's like, oh, who grew those grapes again? Like, it's like, and you know, oh, it's from that vineyard. This guy grows those grapes. He's great. He's basically organic. He's becoming like, whatever. Like, but it's not like, going back to transparency. That's like sort of inside baseball. It's treated like inside baseball.
It is insider baseball. Right? Totally.
And it's like, not quite like, it's not the story they want to sell.
Well, and it's, I think the story that I think they're going to have to start selling, because like, it's not like farmers in, or not like winemakers in California. I just did it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Not like winemakers in California are going to somehow start purchasing land, because right. that land could be used for Amazon offices. That land could be used to invent the Tesla too.
And it will be. And
Tesla 2 is going to be so good.
Yeah, they're gonna figure out.
It's gonna be sandworms. It's gonna be awesome.
They're gonna figure out all the parts where the car accidentally kills you.
Just like increase that part.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually the other parts. No, they're gonna film Dune 3, and it's just gonna be Timothy Chalamet standing in front of all the Teslas. You know, like Zendaya in like long scarves, getting the Teslas to follow her like a Pied Piper.
That would be so tight, actually.
Sick movie, no?
Would really make me think about society.
Oh yeah, I love to think about society. I am not going to go too far into my concerns / thoughts about the politics of Cabernet in California in particular. Because
well, you did say it was only for cops. So how much deeper are we going to go here?
I did say that if you drink these kinds of Cabernets, you probably own guns, and I'm not cool with that. I did kind of make those overlays.
Mm-hmm. I think if you own guns, train in for samurai swords, meet me in the arena.
What's good for the horse is good for the handler. I guess what I just wish is that there were not so much styling on wines from Cali, especially like in this generation, where clearly they're trying to make things that have a lot more balance and that are way less like, you know, reductive and mm-hmm. simplistic, and also the cold cab thing. Mm-hmm. Like, thank Christ, I think it's finally falling away a bit. I don't know if people can still sell bottles of like Jordan and whatever the fuck, but like, I do think some of that power is sort of like diminishing. This does feel like there's an honest attempt here to make a real wine, mm-hmm. but I do wish that it would be like, you know, I don't know, on a back label or something, like these five vineyards, the name of the five vineyards or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I think in California, a lot of people are protecting their secrets. They're like, I don't want to tell you where I got where these vineyards are, like where the fruit sources are, because it's so fucking competitive to mm-hmm. get good fruit.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you don't want a vineyard to get famous. Like, these guys make incredible wines off the Porter Bass vineyards. Mm-hmm. Those vineyards are amazing. I can find exactly two wineries that I know who are able to make, like that I can access, that make wines off those vineyards because they're so great.
Right.
So I think the like economy of great vineyard sites and great farmers also makes this shit really difficult in California, because you can't just be like, who's the producer?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you have to be like, who's the producer? What is the bottling? What are the vineyard sites? How do they farm those sites? And then you still have to arrive at like,
what were the aesthetic choices?
Well, yeah. What's right, their on style? Top on yeah. top of that, what's their style? So, yeah. So when we meet this bottle of wine right now, we're mostly meeting it in terms of style, but there's a whole world of like where in fact the fuck this fruit came from.
Mm-hmm.
But she do taste like fancy Cabernet.
It does taste fancy.
She doesn't taste like Bordeaux. She tastes like fancy Cabernet. And mm-hmm. that profile, I still think, really dominates what people around the world think of.
I think so too. And I actually don't think that like people are thinking as much about Bordeaux when they think about Cabernet.
Most of all, because we can't fucking access it for shit, you know?
Yes. Like, but also because it's not typically a single grape varietal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I think, maybe like know that there's like Cabernet and Merlot in it, maybe, mm-hmm. and that's about as much as they know. But, like California really has
like grape made as Cabernet brand. Sauvignon, yeah, grape as brand,
and totally. Cabernet, I think, almost more than anything else. Like, I
can't remember where I was recently. It was like somewhere in the city, out in public, and I heard two guys talking, like aggressively, abrasively talking. I mean,
that's this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were way more het than you guys are.
Damn.
Yeah. And I like heard, I think maybe I was on the bus or something. I heard them behind me and one of them was like, yeah, you know, like I really love to drink Napa cabs. And I was like, I can't believe this is still happening
Hell
to me.
Yeah.
I had such a weird, like,
yeah,
it like is 2003.
Yeah.
I am in my first fine dining like waiter job. I am learning how to serve wine and it's the same dudes. They haven't aged. They're like Paul Rudd. They haven't aged a single goddamn day. And they're like, yeah, what I really love to drink is Napa cabs. And I was like, how long is this branding thing gonna last? But like, how is this like a force of nature that no longer can be stopped, averted, or changed? Like,
perhaps,
what?
But also, like, I mean, like, maybe it has to exist, and then also we can have the other stuff too. Maybe the other stuff has to come along first and just exist in the shadows for
totes.
A while. Yeah, I don't know.
It's such a horrible feeling because, like, you know, when you're out in public and you're like, a friend's like, oh, this is my other friend who likes wine, and you're just like, oh no.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I work, and they have like a real job. And
right.
I'm just like, oh fuck. We're gonna talk about wine. I don't want to. And then I always say, I just started. I don't know anything about wine. Because it's like, you know,
but
you have
John, what is your favorite wine? What's your favorite wine?
I would say my favorite wine is
probably white wine.
Yeah,
I'm just going to start lying and saying Napa Cab every single time.
Yeah.
Napa
Cab. Can I tell you the thing?
You get invited on so many boat rides.
The thing I overheard.
I would have to wear boat shoes immediately.
Yeah.
Unrelated, but I overheard these two like finance guys in a coffee shop talking, and has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Okay,
this was one of the funniest things I've ever
Let's
heard.
Let's go.
Where what I heard the main guy say is, yeah, but like, I don't know, man. Just because you're a good DJ, that doesn't mean you're going to be a good CEO, you know?
I can't.
And I was like, that is true.
My
true.
Man is spitting hot fire in this coffee
I've
shop
never
right
thought
now,
about
dude.
It that way.
Lit, lit, litty lit.
I mean,
did
from
you
the
get
mouse
his
of
number?
Babes.
I thought I didn't want. I was embarrassed. I wasn't wearing good shoes.
Invite him on the fucking pod,
Damn.
Dude. Let's go.
The amount of intelligence that those guys waste, like just dropping bone mows like that.
Like, you're gonna give that one away for
you know what I mean?
Free,
like,
dude?
Yeah, man. Like. You gotta have an influencer blog. Like
you gotta put this down. You gotta write this shit down.
It's honestly like the modern day Confucius. It's just
I don't wanna just associate these wines. Here's the other category. There's a sub genre of this, and I'm just gonna go ahead and do it.
Let's
There's
do
a sub genre of this that I also despise, which is no longer within the finance bros and the consumers of said cabs. It's the people who will tell you No, but have you had Old Diamond Creek? No, but have you had Old Ridge? Have you?
No, those ones are good. Those are good.
You know, like California Cabernet used to be in the 70s and the 80s. And I'm just like, you are just finance bro number two, little guy. You're just junior. And you're like, yeah, but the real ones. And I'm like, okay.
You're also like maybe industry professional who's been doing this for 30 years and like has been catering to those people for so long that you've
I work at Vine Pear.
Right.
I just want to be like, look, I know that in the 80s people were farming differently. That's good. Mm-hmm. I know that they were also making wines differently. Mm-hmm. That's good too. Mm-hmm. I am so tired of people saying that in the last 50 years that you need to go back and taste Old Diamond Creek in order to see what Cabernet Sauvignon is supposed to taste like in California. I'm just like, then we've been fucking up for half a century. Can we please just get it on the good foot now?
Bored
to tears. And that's why I don't drink this grape variety. Except for when you can actually get it in like a humbly made Bordeaux where it is delicious and they're impossible to find.
Right.
So I guess this is like a very, very large plea for us to stop doing the weird, either finance daddy area
or finance baby.
Or finance baby area, which is like, I worked at Restaurant Danielle for 5 years. And so now I've become very intelligent about wine and I've gotten to taste Old Diamond Creek. I for sure never want to hear that ever again. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear people, like young people, make great versions
of it now.
Right, now.
We could just do it now. We can stop saying like,
please, for the love of fucking God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. New California, the shadow that has thrown on everything is almost as bad as Old California. It's just like, it's okay. It's okay.
So we're just like, there's more than one narrative. Yeah. For sure we can find more than one way of like talking about these cool vineyards. Like I would love to know what the difference is. For example, you know, like I want to see more Santa Cruz Mountains Cabernet. I want to see Mendocino Cabernet.
Cruz, like, at least two of these vineyards are Santa Cruz.
You know, like I'd like to know what the difference between that is and like interior California, I don't know, Cienega.
It just sucks.
Amador County. Like I'd like to know what the difference is.
From all of these places, I would love to drink the fucking Merlot.
Also same. Obviously I'm going to pick the Merlot over it any day of the week. But
like I...
this is crazy reading this because it is like, okay, three sites actually, not five. Santa Cruz Mountains AVA, Mount Veeder AVA, another Santa Cruz Mountains one. Shale and volcanic soils, 1,200 foot elevation.
Come on, like this is really cool shit. Yeah, this is really
gentle
cool shit.
Gentle and pressing. Aged 27 months in 40% new oak. It's like that last thing.
It makes such a huge difference.
Everything before, I was like,
No! But like, let's real talk again. Like, and... this doesn't sound like we're going to bat too hard for this wine, so I'm sorry for that. But
I'm also not dunking on it either. You know what I mean?
I have something to say at the end of what you said.
What could this wine have? Because like again, I can almost guarantee that this wine is a bit of a reaction to overblown California.
It is. It's a restrained version. Totally.
What is this comparing itself to? And what is this the elegant version of? Like, how much new oak would be on this in someone else's hands?
Fucking all of it. Burn down the damn forests to make these stupid wines, you know? Like,
another glass.
How many oak forests can we blast through to make sure that we're drinking fucking silver oak, you guys? I am having such a weird traumatic flashback about the first like 3 or 4 years in fine dining.
I'm changing my Instagram name to 100% nude oak right now.
I just like, what the fuck would happen if, maybe I'm going to change my life and I'm going to go make Cabernet in California. Mm-hmm. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm only going to make it inside of concrete tanks and like old redwood barrels that I can find. I don't even care if they're like fucked up, like from a blacksmith's house. I don't give a shit. Like I like crappy old wood.
I want to know more about this blacksmith.
You know, like when you go up in the mountains in the Sierra Nevadas, there's all weird blacksmith cabins all over the place and they've got like cool tools and shit in there.
Yeah.
I guess I've been fantasizing unbeknownst to me about
going to
live in one of these things where there's cool tools and I get to like use redwood barrels and stuff.
A book you'd be reading on the beach.
Totally. Because I don't enjoy being on the beach. Yeah, and so I'm just like, what about that blacksmith cabin?
I hate the beach.
I know you do. That's because of your skin tone. It's fine. Anyway, I do like the beach. I would also like blacksmith's cabins in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to change my life. I'm going to go make California Cabernet only. It's going to be probably whole cluster. I'm not going to destem anything. I'm going to let it sit in vessels, either concrete or weird old redwood for like 3 years. I'm not going to filter it. I'm not going to fine it. We'll see what happens with stability. Then I'm going to bottle it and I'm going to see what the fuck it becomes. And I'm sure, even though I will probably suck at doing this, that talented people could do that and just step away from the wood barrel for one fucking second, even the neutral ones, just to see what this shit does. and not making like a cheapo stainless steel like dog shit version for the cheap market either.
Right.
Like,
that's the other end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. And I just know that there's like oodles and oodles of beauty sort of waiting to be expressed in that fashion. So this is my plea to take it away from the Bordelais so that we can do it there too, and to wrest it away from whoever the people who own Silver Oak are, and just give it to the people. That's it. That's my plea.
Yeah, power to the people.
Power to the people.
Sorry. Have I been talking for a long time? Sorry, guys.
An hour and 9 minutes.
You can literally just interrupt me at any fucking moment.
My one thing I want to say.
Say it.
Sometimes, not necessarily right this moment, sometimes I don't dislike tasting a little bit of New Oak. If I think it's
Yeah, we drank a Gros Hermitage the other day.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was awesome. And I think, I don't know if that's changed for me recently. Mm. I don't know why, but it's something where I'm like, I at least understand, I see there's a path before me I could take.
Mm-hmm.
Where I could get into it more, where I could be like, I could change my palate to accept more New Oak.
I mean,
I don't want to necessarily. I don't see the purpose, but there are moments in my life where I'm like, if I could have half of a glass of an oaky Cabernet right now,
you'd be happy.
I would drink it and it would bring me pleasure. I would
just smoke a cigarette.
I would like to smoke 1/3 of a cigar. And then throw it away and not have a cigar for 2 years. Like sometimes I just want to feel like that guy for a second. Mm-hmm. And if there's like a pleasure, it's almost like playing dress up or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's because of the way that new wood makes things feel supple. No,
yeah.
It's like the sweetness that it brings, the suppleness. There's a richness and a certain different kind of extraction. And then people get accustomed to the feel of overlaid wood tannins on top of things.
If you're used
to it. And
it
feels svelte and sort of velvety to them and blah, blah, blah. But it is in fact just an aesthetic choice.
It's
like that part is purely aesthetic.
Sometimes I
want to
watch a very
aesthetic.
Bad CGI movie also for 20 minutes. Or
I don't
then,
have that impulse.
Yeah, no, it's fine. it's okay that you don't.
I only do cool, smart things, Kevin.
That's cool too. But I also have zero brain power left. And sometimes I want to just be like
smooth
hit with a
brain, smooth Cabernet
brain.
Yeah,
hit me with a hammer for a second.
Give me that smooth,
Let me feel anything. And so I just. I'm not saying like I want to drink this glass right now. I actually would like have a glass of this in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you I'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool.
I mean, I could sell the absolute ever-loving shit out of this wine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you drink this and make love afterwards.
Is actually on my tasting sheet every single time. Yeah. Can I drink this and make love immediately?
I don't say make love. I mean, you guys know what I say. I say get gonzo style with it.
There is something to be said when you've been, you know, drinking a lot of wine, having a lot of steak, that maybe like you had sex before you had dinner.
Yeah,
you
better.
You got it out of the way.
Yeah, it's done.
Let's like get that out of the way early. Like
honestly,
it's a nice 4 o'clock romp. I'll start the grill. We'll open up the cab, let it breathe.
My fleece vests out there are not doing that.
Yo, the fleece vest
my fleece
stays
vests
on
are not,
in the bedroom. Yeah.
My fleece vest with the blue gingham shirt underneath is not having a 4 o'clock romp.
I mean, I got to wear the fleece vest. I got to keep my torso warm.
That's when the market's closed. He's got to be.
Yeah, first of all, he's just closed the market. Secondly, he might go home for a 45 minute, like, I'm going to play fucking video games for 45 minutes then I'm going to my big boy steak dinner. You know,
why
like,
you making him sound so cool?
He could be your friend if you want to, Kev. Like, I don't know.
I'm just trying to invest.
I'm just saying, like, I've been wrestling with my instincts of being mean. This is, you know, listeners of the show have realized that I've turned over a new leaf and I'm nice now. You guys all know I did it a couple years ago. I think this is a very well-made wine, but I have no need for it in my fucking life. And it is just like, you see things like this, and it feels like an artifact of a different style of wine, a different universe to me.
It is,
and I'm just like, but their fucking Chardonnay is very good.
Also, lots of people like this
wine. A lot of people like this wine. And then I encounter these people at parties, and then I'm just like, I'm glad you exist, man. But
I too love to go to Breckenridge to ski, you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
I love Aspen. Aspen is so cool. I can't wait to get out and hit that pow pow. You know, I can't wait to I can't wait to leave my can't wait to leave my third wife and just have that fucking cool Colorado lifestyle. Well, I love eating at the Little Mel. I love
our current wife.
Yeah, our current wife.
It's just, I can't, dude. I just it's and this is the problem is that like the branding quality of it, the way that certain aesthetic sensibilities get linked to entire lifestyles, just wines should not have this happen to them.
That's the end of it, right? Like it's like I can see this as it's the same reason. Sometimes I want to fucking drink a Coca-Cola, like, but that's not what we get jazzed about when we drink wine.
Totes.
Like we want to taste like a someone's fucking struggle.
Yes.
I want to taste the struggle.
Mine struggle.
No. Oh, no, I hate it. No.
It's like Minecraft.
All the crafts my kids are into. poor guy.
I need to go.
Okay. Well, I think we all have to go then, and that's because we all go everywhere together.
Oh, right. Yeah. So get your shoes on, kids.
Yeah. I'll be hopping on Kevin's back to our next destination.
Cool. I'm gonna strap a rope, and you're gonna carry it, and I'm gonna go on my little rollerblades behind.
And that's how this thruple does it, y'all. So if you guys need relationship advice, John will be starting that business venture up very soon.
Send me a DM.
I have my winery opening in a blacksmith's cabin in the mountains called Third Wheel. You can invest in that ASAP.
It's a good name. I'm surprised no one's done that.
And I think what we'll probably do is I'm going to make sure we get another bottle or two from this estate and drink it so it doesn't sound like we're the meanest people in the world. I don't know why. I'm always mean. I'm trying to be nice now. I don't know. I feel bad.
I don't think we're going to get any more wine from this estate.
I don't fucking want to. Yeah, you
don't do that. Kevin had to put a fleece. He had to put a fleece vest and boat shoes on.
They don't
need you.
$90. Like, they're doing okay.
Yeah, they certainly don't need our fucking approval. But in you know, if you have a dad, give them this. Anyways, patreon.com/disgorgeous. If you want to give us a daddy gift.
Give a dad a gift.
Yeah.
I'd like a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
I would like a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc fucking banged.
That's it.
Knick knack patty whack. Give a dad a gift.
Wait, we have the last question that we have to answer.
Oh.
Which one is Lil Jon? Which one is Shania Twain?
I was right. The Sauvignon Blanc was Shania Twain, I think, and this is Lil Jon.
You think this is Lil Jon? Yeah, really?
It's yelling.
It's yelling at you. It's going
it does yell.
Oak. And then the other one is like a little sweet. But a little sassy.
Okay, so on the sassy right? level. Yeah, I've got that. Okay, all right. So Andrea Shepa, Shania Twain, Cerritos, Lil Jon. Very good.
Yeah, we love it.
Thank you. Okay.
Well, thank you guys for listening.
We're
Bold
here
and the Restless.
The young and the beautiful.
The frog and the toad are friends. Goodbye.